And he was teaching daily in the temple, words by friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So a visit to my hometown here is always an occasion, especially if it's rare, for a little bit of nostalgia and driving around. And on Friday morning, I was driving down Blue Mound Road, and I drove past Nativity Lutheran Church. Nativity Lutheran Church was where I went when I was studying music in Wisconsin Conservatory to get organ lessons. The organist there was an older gentleman, William Eberle, a very precise gentleman with a little pencil mustache, and quite conservative in all of his ideas and in all of his principles. And I was privileged to study with Mr. Eberle for a number of years. And I discovered something very interesting about him, and something that reflects a larger phenomenon in instrumental studies in music, that it's considered very important who you have as a teacher, you know, who your teacher is. And if you have a more prominent teacher, that is generally a sign of a greater talent. And in fact, musicians trace the lineage, sort of their teachers back as far as they can, as far as they can go sometime. So I discovered that Mr. Eberle had been a student of Marcel Dupré, who was one of the greatest French organists of the 20th century. And Dupré memorized the entire 800 pages of the organ works of Bach, performed them from memory. Astounding thing. And so it was a privilege studying with someone who had studied with Dupré. But then I discovered that, well, Dupré had studied with, going back another generation, with Louis Vierne, who was another great French organist and composer. And that was the way in which the knowledge was passed down. And when I traced things all the way back, it turned out that my lineage of teachers, as it were, goes all the way back to Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. But unfortunately, the only similarity between him and me is that we both wore buckled shoes. The talent didn't come along with it. But teaching is an important part of our existence as human beings in this world of Almighty God. And that was something that it was something I came to appreciate only, I think, when I myself began to teach. I mentioned to a number of you that the one thing I never wanted to do was teach in a seminary, but sure enough, the first thing I ended up doing after ordination was being stuck with teaching in a seminary. I came to appreciate it, and to appreciate the vocation of teaching. Today's gospel speaks of our Lord's teaching daily in the temple. And we study Christ, our teacher, and we try to become his good students, his good pupils. But how well do we really study him and pass along what he teaches to us? If we look at Christ, we see how he taught and how he conveyed what he knew to his pupils, to his students. Obviously, he was the ideal teacher because he knew all things. He had unlimited learning. He knew what he was teaching, and he knew how his teaching was being received by his hearers. And he anticipated every question, every angle, as it were, of that would come up in the conveyance of his message. The purpose of it was where I am, there also you may be, one day in the bosom of my heavenly Father. It happens with us that sometimes the aim and the purpose of our teaching is missing, or we're not conscious of it. But Christ's aim was to convey to us the means and what we need in the way of knowledge and virtue to get to heaven. So Christ teaches us how to teach, as it were. If we look at his method, the method of a good teacher, he proceeds a step at a time, first of all. There's the truth that he was God. He hinted at that at first. The Jews expected a rich and a powerful redeemer. Then when he finally revealed the whole truth, he insists and persists in the teaching of it. So it's a step at a time, and a teacher knows, a good teacher on the human level knows and understands that you try to systematize your material, try to break it down, lead students who are unfamiliar with the topic, a complete understanding of it a bit at a time. And Christ also used parables and examples and stories to stir up the interest of his hearers. This is very important. We think of all the striking parables that our Lord said, the comparisons that he used to teach us about the virtue, to teach us about the kingdom of heaven. Then he taught on all sorts of occasions, even informal occasions, we could say. He was out on the boat teaching. Or he would teach on a porch and taught on a mountainside. And he would use illustrations from the common life of his hearers. And it's really extraordinary to explore these and to explore the meanings of the parables as well. That we, we're familiar with what the gospel says. Generally, we hear it from year to year, a particular gospel that is repeated for our benefit, that the priest preaches on and so on. But when you read a commentary of a scripture scholar who really digs into the meaning of the parable in terms of daily life at the time of our Blessed Lord, it's something that's fascinating and shows you that it's even more, what our Lord was doing is even more striking to his hearers than we realize at 2,000 years distance. So he also used words that were simple. Words that were simple and straightforward, and that was important for his hearers, and that gave a clarity to his message, and his lectures actually were quite brief, to the point, and that's important as well. That idea of simplicity and clarity in teaching. If you have a teacher who's able to do that, that's a great great blessing. I know I had a number of teachers like that. In fact, one, Father Stapleton, I may have quoted him before. He said that the rules for a sermon are very simple. It's be bright, be brief, and be gone. And if you can't be bright, at least be brief and then be gone. So that sticks with you. Whether or not I apply that, that's something for your discussions at the coffee hour. So our Lord gives us this model for teaching. And in our day-to-day life, You say, okay, teachers, all right. Well, you know, I don't teach in school, necessarily, and I've had teachers at school, etc. But you might educate your children at home, if you do home ed, and so you're teaching in that sense, but really all of you have to have a little bit of a default setting of teachers in your day-to-day life. In the formation, for instance, parents of children in the truths of the Catholic faith, how do you do your job? Are you persistent? Do you think of conveying, teaching them the Catholic faith, even if, say, they have a catechism classes, etc.? Do you think in terms of actually teaching them explicitly? Ask our Blessed Lord when you're a bit stumped on the question of teaching. And that does have to be a default mode that we think about. Having done it for so many years, it's sort of become a default mode for me as well in a lot of things. For many years, I was able to swim for exercise. And one time, I took a seminarian along with me. In fact, it was a now Bishop Selway. And I was actually showing him how to do a particular stroke. And the guy in the next lane who I talked to had also been a teacher, and actually was a Latinist. And he said to me, always teaching, eh, Father? Right? And, you know, I thought about that, and that kind of was the default mode. Most of us, don't reflect on this in our day-to-day lives, but we have to really try to get others in a little way, without being too didactic and too insistent, to believe what we teach through example. That, we won't be able to teach the lessons necessarily of the Christian life as well, obviously, as our Lord did, but we should ask his example that in everyday life, in our day-to-day encounters with family and work, that Christ will help us to see opportunities to teach people, to know our subject, and to present it well. And if we're fathers and mothers, to ask him for the grace to be good teachers in the home. Christ then will help us both to teach and to learn, so that one day we can fulfill the purpose of his teaching, which is to lead others to heaven. That where Christ is, we also one day may be. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.